You have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here with another after show episode. Today I have Robin Brown from Murphy Business Sales. Robin, how was the first part for you? I always ask everybody that, like I don't already know, but how was the first part?
It was terrific. It was a great conversation. I think we shared a lot of helpful information. You're good at pulling information out of folks, so you're a great interviewer. So thanks for doing that.
Of course. And I
think it'll be useful for some folks that are, you know, look, like you said earlier, interested in buying or selling a business or looking to become a business broker and having that career 3.2 or whatever we want to call it.
Yes, as yourself, and I know for myself, and you know, others kind of go through with life. And yeah, it's the fun / challenging part of having a podcast or creating content. Is as much as you think like this is who it's for, you also don't know who is going to find it. And so my personal decision with the podcast is to not be like, this is a show with brokers for brokers only, and if you're not a broker, it's not going to be valuable. I just love to have conversations with people like you, talk about whatever, and then where could it be valuable? Who could it be valuable? That's not up to be determined. I just set it up. And then, you know, people find this and what they find valuable about it. It's fun on my end. I love doing it. For people tuning in, if you are in the minority of listeners that I know are out there where you like the after shows and you then maybe start with this, you go to the other one, maybe you look at the after show and go, that's a shorter episode, let me start with that and see what this Robin person's about. Make sure to go back and check out the main episode. I promise what she just said is accurate. There was a ton in it. I took a ton of notes and I already knew what we were going to talk about for the most part. And so I know it's valuable. I also know we didn't get to everything, which is what we're going to talk about now. So starting off, which I alluded to at the end of the first episode, something you and I spoke about right before we hit record, whenever that was earlier today, because we've been on this for a bit, is this kind of career. You mentioned 3.2, 3.0, where someone's like in a different career in a different mode. You know, one of the things that happened, this is not generally a topical show. This isn't a news alert show. We are recording this at the beginning of April. Oracle, Cerner just came out with a big layoff, another round of layoffs. You were a part of Cerner and you got the golden parachute back in the day with that. And then I know with the post that you made earlier today about that was an interesting take on it. There's a lot of like, I'm sorry you lost your job, or I was in that position, or here's what you need to do to revamp your resume, or like, you know, that sucks, kind of like posts all over about it. Yours was a little bit different. So what, like when you saw that, what came to mind for you?
Well, first of all, I was sad to see another large group of folks that were really dedicated employees. Those folks that had gotten to that point and, and made it through several rifts over the years, you know, with a company that, you know, makes billions of dollars a year and is like cutting people's jobs and livelihood through email. It was handled much more professionally when it happened to me. I got a phone call. I had a certain amount of time to log off my systems and blah, blah, blah. These people woke up at 6 a.m. and it was, their career was over. And so, you know, when I saw that and I started seeing fellow Cerner / Oracle people start posting that, hey, I got it. And, you know, anybody know anybody, you know, here's what I'm looking for. Well, there, you know, there, that message was repeated over and over again. And I just said, hey, you know what? That is a horrible feeling. And what happened to you and how it happened to you, you know, I'm so sorry. But when you take a breath and you're able to see past what or how it was handled and you decide what you want to do, you know, consider doing something that you become your own boss and you manage your success, and what you do will benefit you and your family. So it was kind of like, here's my journey, and here's, let me tell you why it feels so good and how excited I am. So that was kind of how I went about it. And you know, I've gotten a few messages from folks. Our CEO liked it, was the first one that liked it last night when I posted it. Because, you know, just like when you're going to buy a business or you're going to find a seller, you know, you're constantly sharing the message about what you do. And these people are looking for a new career. I wanted to share with how I felt when I found this and how it's made me feel and rejuvenated me to say, oh no, I'm, you know, 62 years old and, you know, I'm on my way out to, God, as long as I can do this and have a good time at it, this is what I want to do. So I wanted to share that with folks. So,
yeah. And I think what's interesting, because, you know, I think it's happened for a long time, but it's been more dramatic in the last handful of decades, where a company is laying people off, maybe somebody who's been in their career for a while, they're in an older demographic. It's now tough for them to get a new job for multiple reasons. One can be the ageist part that's not allowed, but let's just be honest, it still happens. And then the other part is, like, somebody's overqualified, or you know they're going to want a lot of money, versus some newer person in the industry, you can just pay them less and get what you need. Right? So that dynamic, yeah, which then triggers many people to then say, well, let me just go do consulting or advising or do something like that. And that's a tough game, because that's just a tough game. And then what's fascinating, which I appreciate what you said, which is, like, what you did, take all of that experience across whatever number of industries and job seasons you've had, and apply that in a way to help these small business owners exit. And then here's the part that I think is really cool, and we talked about this right before we hit record, before the first episode, is that there's also this dynamic that people are aware of, is the what's called the silver tsunami. But business owners who are baby boomers or around that area that are just done, they've had the business for 30, 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as many brokers I've talked to have said, like, if they all decided to retire and try to sell their business at once, there's literally not enough business brokers out there. Now, there's probably enough buyers, but there's nowhere near enough brokers to handle all those transactions.
There's not.
You're going to have that restaurant that's empty now with just equipment in it. You're going to have all these things that just, like, businesses that shutter because there's not a way to match them up appropriately, right?
Yeah, I think one of the things you'll see is, you know, there's all kinds of stats that are coming out, and it's like 12,000 baby boomers are retiring a day.
Wow.
I mean, I think it's 12,000. I was just looking for the stats as you were chatting, because it's, you know, this is the best opportunity to be a broker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you look at in the state of Texas, like 98% of the businesses in the state of Texas are small businesses.
Yeah.
When you look at all the oil companies and the tech companies and all that, there are more small businesses, registered small businesses in Texas than anything. And it's unbelievable to me. And what a great opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that's what's fascinating. And this makes me excited about kind of your offer that you put out there, you know, on LinkedIn, for that post regarding the people who were let go. Going into consulting is a tough grind because you have to go find clients. In this case here with the business brokerage, and this is not a paid product placement for becoming a business broker, but, like, the time is really good to bring that experience. And I just pulled it up while you were chatting. I just Googled it. There's approximately 10,000 to 11,200 baby boomers turning 65 every day, right? Yeah. So maybe not retiring, but of an age that's generally expected to be retiring somewhere around there, 10 to 12,000 people turning 65 a day. That's going to continue through 2027.
Yeah.
and then in 2030, it'll, you know, settle to about 10,000 a day between 2027 and 2030.
Yeah, it's crazy. They think that like 63% of the small businesses could change hands in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really wild. And you know, I don't know. I think the opportunity is never going to be greater, and I don't think there are, like you said earlier, there's not enough of us to do it. And I would hope that our community of brokers, you know, would team up more and work together to get businesses listed and sold, even though you don't work for Murphy or you don't work for one of our competitors or other, you know, single brokers, because we've got to get this stuff out there. Otherwise businesses are, like you said, are just going to close.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I think one of the things that we have to understand as brokers is that we bring a lot of talent to the table. If you, you know, if you're a finance bro, you could be a broker, you know, and you're going to need to partner with somebody who's a sales bro, or, you know, you're going to need to take a different approach. You know, we're a franchise, right? And so we go out and they sell a franchise to get into a new market. And this person has, you know, been a CPA or been a, you know, and has some smarts about being able to do a part of what we do, but how do we train or support those folks so they're successful? And and it's about relationship. Unfortunately, there's a lot of companies out there that say, "Oh, I'll bring you leads and I'll you know, pay me $1,000 a month and I'll just line up all these deals for you." And it's like, and these gals go out and they spend that money.
Oof.
And it's like, if you don't know what to do with them, or if you even know if it's a good lead or not, you know, it's difficult. And so we have to be, I think the team approach is the way we should look at it and go moving forward.
I think that's great. And I wanted to bring that up because I think it's valuable, kind of an informational kind of public service announcement for people out there maybe looking for the next career. And then also, again, don't know who's listening, could be a business owner who's looking at retiring and selling, is that, you know, it's important to choose wisely as well, right? And that you want to make sure that you're working with someone who knows what they're doing, and not just based on years in the seat as a business broker, but also, you know, could be combined kind of like yourself, where it's years in and around business and all different aspects of business and different industries, where that value plus a team dynamic makes for a powerful force. So now on that note, let's talk about the next segment, which we normally do in the first part of the episode, but I held it off for this, which is the deal that got away. So this is the lessons of the lost deal, which I know that you've had a few, only a few, you know, obviously if you're moving all the inventory off the show floor and you've gotten everything closed and out the door, there's probably not too many of them, but I know everyone has one. And so what comes to mind when you think about that deal that should have happened, but didn't?
Yeah. So I had a client, small business, was in the water treatment industry, and it was on the market for over a year. We talked to several people. We had site visits. We had an offer. At the end, the son who was working for the business decided he didn't want to work for anyone else. And he told his dad is that if he sold the business, he would quit. And so he did a lot of the work. And so the value of the business was like nothing. And then if the son quit, he'd also want to take his truck. And it was like, it was all this stuff that was, you know, they even incented the son to stay, said, we will pay you a bigger salary. We will pay your health care and we will pay a retainer bonus for you to stay on for a year so we can transition to our own folks. It was a company that was trying to expand across the United States. And back and forth and back and forth. And I would, you know, I would do everything to say, this is a good thing for everybody. Your dad gets to retire. You get a higher paying job for a year. Will you go look for another job? All the things are, nope, not working for anybody else. I assume he was forcing his dad to give him the company.
Yeah.
And not giving him any retirement. So it was a sad situation. And, you know, I actually have had, and they wanted to extend the contract. And I finally said, for what? And I literally had to say, you know what? It's been great, but I can't market what you got.
Yeah.
And so if you want to sell your
parts. It's tough with those family dynamics, right? There's things you can do as an intermediary, but I mean, you're not in charge of the business. So it's kind of up to them to get it to the point where you can do your job. Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts, and in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
And so if you want to sell your parts.
It's tough with those family dynamics, right? There's things you can do as an intermediary, but I mean, you're not in charge of the business. So it's kind of up to them to get it to the point where you can do your job.
So that was one. There was another one that was, it didn't really get away. I think the guy worked until he was in his 90s and the business just, you know, their market share fell off and, you know, it was basically a fire sale. And then people saw it and just said, you know, I could open one of these down the street. And I did everything to try to, I spent hours with them and I did 7 or 8 site visits and it was an example of waiting too long to sell your business. Yeah. And when, one of the things I ask people to think about when they're thinking about selling their business is, what are you going to do after it sells? And if they say, I don't know, I have chores around the house, blah, 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 I'm going to be like, then you should just stay here working the business. And
yeah,
you know, it's like, you got to have something. I want to go and go to the beach and hang out with my grandkids and I want to travel, or I want to go fishing or hunting more, or I want to, you know, join a quilting club or whatever it is, but have something to do. Otherwise, when you're done, you've missed an opportunity. So, I always say there's really three reasons people sell their business. They're going to retire. They're tired. They're just tired. They just don't want to do it anymore. Or they don't want to reinvest in themselves or their business. So they need more capital. So that's, oh, I'm sorry, there's a fourth, and that is either illness or death. The spouse passed away or someone has been diagnosed with an illness.
Yeah.
So, you know, retiree is great. I'm just tired. you know what? Hang in there. Don't take your foot off the gas. Give it a few more months because we'll get more for the business if you do that. You know, someone with that's passed away or have illness, you know, it's some people say, you know, I have an illness. I need to sell my business so my spouse will get the full benefit and won't have to worry about it after I'm gone. So there's all reasons, and each one of them needs that emotional support that we talked about earlier. And that is, you know, they're a guest. You got to give them that little family love now and then and say, I understand how you feel. Or God, you know, I get it. I was tired too in my last job and now I have this job and I love it.
I think that's great. Moving to some of the standard questions, we've actually talked about several of them already, but a few of the after show questions that I still have that I want to hit you with. The first one is, if we think about business brokers and what they need to survive in 5 years, what do you think a business broker in 2031 is going to have to do to survive in the business?
2031.
I know, right? It seems like a far time off. That's technically 5 years from now. If you're listening to this and thinking, I want this level of authority, I just don't have the time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. And that's what we build for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and authority signals, everything you need that we've talked about here. So if you want this impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it would look like for your business. Now back to the episode. I think that's great. Moving to some of the standard questions, we've actually talked about several of them already, but a few of the after show questions that I still have that I want to hit you with. The first one is, if we think about business brokers and what they need to survive in 5 years, what do you think a business broker in 2031 is going to have to do to survive in the business?
2031.
I know, right? It seems like a far time off. That's technically 5 years from now.
A new broker or an established broker?
Any broker.
I think that, you know, we're still going to have baby boomers exiting, you know, 5 years. There'll still be a, you know, the generation, the business is going to change. I think the businesses they're going to sell, the more boring the business, the better. You know, we're still going to have our air conditioners are still going to break and we're still going to have to get our grass mowed. And we're still, you know, concrete's still going to be laid and I'm still going to want, you know, new cupboards in my kitchen. Those are all boring businesses. Those, I think, the businesses that will continue to sell. That's where you should be building your relationships today. I think we need to have blended teams to survive. I think you're going to have our deal structure is going to change probably a little bit more. Maybe money will be harder to access. You're going to see more people leaving corporate America. What's really cool is you have the ROBs where you can use your 401k to buy a business without penalty, without interest. Those things are going to become more popular, I think. You know, I don't know what government involvement will be, what will happen to SBA loans. That could change. Will banks carry it? I think loans are going to be tougher to get. I think you're going to see probably more family wealth investments where there's trust that people are going to invest to buy passive income businesses. We're seeing that now where they're, you know, there is a family trust that they're supporting a group of people, but in order to do that, they need to have continued growth outside of the stock market. So they're looking for things like you know, absentee businesses. But I think we have to continue to invest in ourselves. We need to learn to embrace AI. I mean, the more that I see that AI can do, you know, when I write a sim today, you know, that big document that has all the detail in the business and the number of hours that I'd spend in the past researching competitors, and I can do that stuff in like an hour now.
Yeah.
Now you have to check it, because not everything what they say on the internet is true.
No.
But you can get really close. And so I think that, you know, AI is going to continue to drive that. Will it replace some of the things that we do operationally? Probably. I haven't figured out how to get my AI to read my email and respond to stuff. I'm still a little old school. I like, that's my part of my coffee routine in addition to my marketing Mondays. But, cause I think we're still going to be very personable. The personable people will still continue to win. AI will help us. It will be a crutch, but relationships, you're still going to network. You're still going to handle those 10 o'clock Sunday night calls. AI can't help you with that.
Yeah. And I love everything. That was a long list. And I think it's really valuable to think about that. And especially what you said about the boring businesses, which are the things that will always be there that AI and robots aren't going to replace, right? Yes. At some point there's going to be concrete pouring robots driven by AI, but not for somebody's driveway, right? Like there's still some, that's still going to have to be a business that somebody runs and does. Even over the next 5 years, right? So the next question I'd normally ask is about a tech shift. You already brought that up. You talked about AI, the stuff you can do, but also where the humans still need to be a part of this because it's a human relationship business. So instead of asking that question, which you already answered, I want to bring up something you said before we hit record that also got me excited. I alluded this to the very, very beginning when we was kicking off the conversation, is how potential clients are using AI and an experience you had recently with a business owner.
Yeah, I had a business owner.
I want you to share that.
Yeah, so I have a business owner that has an event space and retreat, and she's starting to use AI. She's my age. She's starting to use AI, and she has a daughter who works for Meta. So she's well coached. So she told me one morning, she says, I just have to let you know. This was after she told us she was going to hire us. And she says, I just want to let you know that I asked AI if I should hire you. And it said, yes, with one caution area that I didn't have experience in, large land sales, because they have like 25 acres. And I said, well, that's good. So what it tells me is that what I'm feeding the universe and what my clients are feeding the universe about what I do is turning up somewhere that AI. Now, I haven't done that on my own and asked if I should hire myself. But it was interesting that she used that. Now, I would love that, because I think reviews are important. And the more reviews are out there are good for us, as if we're strong brokers. And obviously somebody said something nice because I got a good review.
Yeah. And I think it's a powerful lesson. One is just the adoption of it, and not even for an age demographic that we might all think is using it versus others, right? Like everybody is using it. Just assume that everyone's using it. And then where is this a cautionary tale of what is out there for you, right? And most of the time I see that there's nothing bad about somebody, especially let's say a business broker, but many times there's just nothing, right? It doesn't matter. There's just nothing out there. And so keeping in mind, it's what you're putting out there that's showing the world that you know what you're doing, and then AI is scraping that stuff. And then what is it, what feedback is it going to give somebody about what you do, what you stand for, who you can help, what your value and expertise is based on everything that you've done. And where do you need to put intentionality into that? Like people used to or still do in like SEO and trying to optimize for Google. It's like, mm-hmm. you just have to just put out a lot of stuff. Right.
And we, you know, we talk about, you know, doing those projects, and I was like, well, you know, we can pay somebody to do, I'm not doing that myself, but we can pay somebody to do that. But, you know, here's the thing. If this is an old customer evaluation story, but you know, if somebody has a bad experience with somebody, they're going to tell 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to a restaurant and the yep. service is bad, or the way, you know, people will go out and they will blast them. If they have a good experience,
everybody,
they tell 2 people.
Yeah.
I don't like those odds, but I'm willing to play those odds because I'd rather have 2 people say something nice about me instead of 10 people saying I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And and I look back on that, and my mother used to keep a file in her desk of things I would share with her, and she called it my attagirl file. And now the attagirl file is now the internet.
Yep.
And so I want to make sure that attagirl file is full, and that anybody that asks me for a reference, they can go and call any of my customers or my clients. I don't know that everybody can do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm willing to spend my time with.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And I think it's treating the internet in the way that you should, which is that repository of validation, of trust and authority of you as a professional. Right. You know, a lot of people think, well, I don't really need a website. I don't need this. I don't need that. It's like, you still do some business, but you have to assume everyone's going to search or Google or try to validate. Like, I have a good feeling about you, but I just want to get some proof. Again, to your point, right? This is a big exit. This is people's legacy and their livelihood, their retirement. And they're going to want to avoid any chance of buyer's remorse of working with a broker. And so they're going to need as many data points that show I can trust you. So that's why I think it's fascinating.
And I'll tell you, they're shopping. I mean, sellers are shopping. They're looking for good representation. My screen printing company, I mean, she talked to 7 different brokers.
Wow.
And she said, they didn't tell me half of the stuff I could expect that you told me.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, I have no reason not to be transparent with you, because then you're just going to get mad at me if something happens, you know, because you're going to get situations. But if I told you, you probably won't be mad at me. So we'll work together, right?
Yep, because you already knew, right? It's like getting into a relationship with anybody. If you know the good and the bad and the positives and the negatives, it's tough to be mad later on when you're like, well, I didn't realize. I didn't fully realize how messy you were. It's like, no, you did. Like, you saw it. We talked about it, right? Like, that was a part of this deal. We can't, like you know, you can be upset, but not at me because you knew. And so it's like that with anything. Like, these are long-term relationships you're in with your clients because of the nature of these deals. So.
Those relationships bring you referrals. I tell you that you can cut and collect your commissions and move on to the next one. But if you have good relationships, they're gonna tell you. They're gonna be your elevator pitch. They're gonna be your marketing arm. They're gonna tell people about your brand.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I think that's a perfect place to end, both scaring people about the future, but then also letting them know about these kind of things. Hopefully, you know, people do what they can to be proactive on all sides, you know, from the marketing to the content and the referrals and actually doing good deals. Robin, thank you again for being here, giving us so much extra time, like looking at the clock, how long we've been talking. I'm enjoying it. It's fun. And for people tuning in, links will be in the show notes, but murphybusiness.com/centralhouston, also Robin Brown on LinkedIn. Your email will be in the show notes as well. But thank you for this and all you're doing and all that you shared. And hopefully this will go out there in the universe and some AI will find this and say, yes, you know, Robin knows her stuff and she can help you. So
thank you for the opportunity, Jason. I appreciate it.
Yes. And for everyone tuning in, thank you for being here. May AI searches show you what you need to know and help you on your path, wherever you're at. Just thinking about the future, it's fun and fascinating and slightly scary for sure, of course. But appreciate you tuning in. And until next time on the podcast here, remember, stop hoping for growth and start filling your pipeline. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.